Hechel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is tape number 37 in the series entitled Mind Over Heart, Part 1, recorded live at Hechel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York.
Good morning. We're middle of Perikid Base. Page 32, Daf... Tazayin Amad Beis. We'll begin from the words Aval Acherat Tfila. 5 lines from the bottom. In this chapter, Reb Shneur Zalman, the Alter Rebbe, described the Beinoni. The Beinoni is not the tzaddik, the righteous individual, nor the Rasha, the wicked individual. Rather, the intermediate man, or if you will, the ordinary man. And he defines the Beinoni as the ordinary man who never sins. He's ordinary. He's ordinary in the sense that he possesses an inner duality, an inherent multiplicity, versus the tzaddik, who succeeded in eradicating and ridding himself from his foes, from his enemies, or furthermore, certain tzaddikim who even succeeded in transforming their opposing forces and making the enemy an ally, a partner, a colleague to himself. The Beinoni, on the other hand, is someone who possesses this dichotomy. And the dichotomy consists of the fact that the human being, and specifically the Jew, has two souls, two consciousnesses. One is a divine, and the other one is an animalistic consciousness. And therefore we call him the intermediate man, or the ordinary, the ordinary man, the Beinoni. On the other hand, this is the ordinary man who never sins, because despite the fact that he experiences a conflict, and on a day-to-day basis he must engage in a serious battle and struggle, he never allows the animalistic, earthly, selfish, egotistical dimension of his life dictate his behavior. So although he possesses a nefesh abahamis in Tanya terminology, an animalistic soul, this is never actualized in a behavioral level. In the thought, speech, or action of the Beinoni, the nefesh abahamis is never realized. So, the impulses are there. Negative impulses, instincts, desires. But his behavior is a mirror and reflection only of his nefesh alikis, of the divine soul that exists within him. And Alter Rebbe continued and said, besides at specific times in the life of the Beinoni, where the nefesh alikis, the divine consciousness, has full control over his entire self, like by the time of tefillah and kriyashma, the time of davening, at that time, there is a unique opportunity for every human being, for every Jew, and the Beinoni seizes that opportunity to meditate, to daven, to connect his mind and his heart to Hashem, and thus totally silence the evil that's in his heart. So at times of davening, the Beinoni doesn't even experience the impulses of the Nefesh HaBahamas, because it is the Nefesh HaLikis that now masters his personality. But the Alter Rebbe continues, Aval Acher HaTfilah. But after prayer, B'Istalkus HaMeichin the Gadlus Ein Sof Baruch, when the intellect of the Ein Sof, of the blessed Ein Sof, Endless One, is no longer in a state of sublimity as it was in a time of prayer like we discussed last week, as he discussed earlier. The evil of the animal soul in the left part of the heart reawakens. Umisave taiva, l'taiva selam hazav etanugav. And he, the Beinoni, feels a desire for the lusts of this world and its delights, because the Nefesh HaBahamis has not been eradicated, silenced, subdued, as is in the Tzaddik's life. It exists. It's just in the time of davening, it was unfelt. It's as if it was asleep. After davening, it reawakens and it's felt, so the Beinoni can experience a serious, real desire to the lusts of the physical world. Permitted lusts and even forbidden lusts, as he will describe in detail later in this chapter. But the point is that a whole new reality emerges in the Beinoni's life. In the time of davening, he was absolutely idealistic. What was his ambition in the time of davening? One thing, to connect with what's true, with what's real, with what's absolute, with what's eternal. Davening finishes, and the Beinoni walks out from shul into the street, and suddenly he experiences a whole new reality existing within him. A very earthly, selfish, mundane, egotistical reality. He lusts for simple pleasures to satisfy his own self. And this, everyone relates to. This duality, besides the tzaddik, the ordinary man experiences. Everyone has times when we are taken over for whatever reason by a sense of idealism. And the cause for this sensation, for this feeling, can be several causes. By one person, it just occurs. You're sitting on your couch one evening and you're taken over by a sense of a certain spirituality overwhelms the human consciousness. Others, it's a song they hear. A song sometimes awakes it. A book they read, a story they hear, a shiur they attend, a lecture they hear, or just thoughts that come to their mind. And at that time, earthliness and selfishness is seen by this person as absolute vanity. And you really feel connected, and you say, you know, Yiddishkeit and godliness, that is what I want. That is what I want to embrace. It's so beautiful. It's so true. It's so extraordinary. And at that time, there's no other voice in your life, and you feel that this is it. And this is who I am, and this is what I want with my life. By one person, it can happen Yom Kippur by Ne'ilah. Not necessarily every day, every week, every month. But a Jew experiences this sense. And at that moment, godliness and spirituality, although it's aloof, it's sublime, it cannot be seen and felt through empirical instruments, but nevertheless, it becomes truly real in the human being's life. And he's inspired and motivated and filled with fervor and zealousness towards serving Hashem. And then a day passes, or 2 days pass, and it all dissipates. It's gone. Naught. Nothingness, as if it never existed. Suddenly a whole new self emerges. And you see what I'm interested is in my little selfish ego. It should be comfortable, satisfied, satisfied and satiated. I'm not interested in anything else. Everything that I experienced before and I was so attached to doesn't have any appeal to me anymore. And therefore, the human being could come to the conclusion that the whole idealism that he experienced before was merely a fantasy, a dream, a celestial illusion, if you will. It was celestial, it was heavenly, it was transcendental, but it's an illusion. And when that illusion dissipates, for whatever reason, time or experience or circumstances, you're back to the real I. And the real I is a baim, is an animal. And when the animal sensation emerges within the human being, suddenly we're very, very comfortable with that. And other things seem so aloof and sublime and repressive and dogmatic and otherworldly and alien and remote. It doesn't have to do with me. So the Beinoni is the man who experiences this in a very real way. The tzaddik, in a way we can't relate to. Because the tzaddik doesn't have this dichotomy. The tzaddik, the nefesh halikis, is the only soul that exists within him. I would even venture to say that there would be certain people that if they would see the tzaddik, in their eyes, the tzaddik belongs in a home for the mentally challenged individuals. That's how remote the tzaddik is sometimes from our perception. By us, materialism, the shell of the world, is so powerful, is so intrinsic, that the tzaddik's perspective, if it's to really be appreciated, has to essentially evoke in us either disbelief or astonishment or absolute awe. But the Beinoni is not the tzaddik. The Beinoni has two souls, and two souls means two perceptions and two perspectives. So even though at times of davening, the Beinoni gets in touch with the nefesh halikis to the extent that it fills his entire persona, externally and even internally, but after davening, when he walks in to the cafeteria to have a little breakfast, or he gets onto the subway, or whatever it is. Alter Rebbe's times there were no subways, but there were cafeterias, I guess. He experiences another dimension within himself. Misava taiva l'taiva se'ilam haza. Ilam haza is the real thing. By a tzaddik, ilam haza is also a real thing. But a godly ilam haza, that's what the real thing is. In everything, he sees the godly element of it. That's what he lusts. And the evil element of it, he despises. It abhors him. But the tzaddik appreciates Elam Haza for what Elam Haza is in its husk perception. That is what he appreciates and loves and gravitates to and experiences a desire to. So now comes the challenge. The challenge is that although we have two souls, and although we have two perceptions, and although we have two perspectives, and although we have this conflict and this battle, not to allow the animal perception in the human being to take over his life, to actualize itself, to conquer the body. And this is what Alter Rebbe continues. Yet, despite the fact that the Beinoni feels this lust and desire for the earthly reality, but because the evil of the animal soul has not the sole authority and dominion over the city. If the Nefesh HaBahamis would have the only authority in the city, there would be no one else. So he would not only experience a lust to Elam Haza, that lust would carry itself through all the way down to thought, speech, and actual implementation. But since the Nefesh HaBahamis, albeit it exists, and it exists consciously, but it doesn't possess the sole authority in the city, it exists in the city. The city, again, is the analogy for the body of ours, that little body of ours, in the eyes of two souls, is a very, very precious commodity. So the tzaddik chased away the enemy from the city. So there's only one authority in the city. The tzaddik doesn't even have to set up guards at the portals of the city because the enemy could come in tomorrow. He has totally vanished the enemy from the city, even from the outskirts of the city, even from the furthest outskirts of the city. So there's peace, there's tranquility. There's no threat of war. The Beinoni in the city, there are two authorities that are constantly seeking to conquer it. But since the Nefesh HaBa'amis is not the only authority in the city, it is unable to implement this desire and take it from potentiality into the world of actuality. By clothing itself in the limbs of the body. To engage in deed, speech, or actual thought. The impulse is there. The desire is there. The instinct is there. But can it actually take over the limbs and organs of the city? Can it actually enclose itself in the human being's body? That my body, not my physical body, not my soul, should become the garment subservient to these negative impulses? That does not occur. So the taiva, the lust, the desire, taiva means lust, exists. But implementing that lust, actualizing it on a behavioral level, that the Rav, the Nefesh HaBa'amis, cannot do. That ability, the Beinoni eliminates. So that indeed, so the taiva should express itself indeed. In other words, he should actually act upon that. Do something which is contrary to the blueprint that the Creator has designed for the human being to live. That the Beinoni won't do. To say something which is contrary to that blueprint just because he lost to say it, the Beinoni will not do that. And furthermore, machshava mamish, to actually engage in a thought about it, that the Beinoni won't either do. What does it mean, machshava mamish? Lahamik machshavti b'tanuge elam haza. To concentrate his attention on worldly pleasures. Eich lamaleis taivas libe. To devising means of satisfying the lust of his heart, that the Beinoni doesn't do. Why? Says the Alter Rebbe, ki hamayach shalit al alef. Because the mind rules over the heart. K'may shekas of beraya mehemna parshas Pinchas. As is written in Raya Mehemna and Parshas Pinchas, in the third section of Zohar, Daf Reish Chav Dalet Amud Aleph, that Meiches Rachi V'Shalit Aliba. The mind rides on and rules the heart. And Alter Rebbe adds that this means B'Tel Dasei V'Teva Yitzirasei. By virtue of its innately created nature, in the very nature of man's psychological and spiritual anatomy, the mind rules over the heart. And he explains, Shekach neitzer ha'adam b'til dasei. For man was so created from birth, Shekal adam, that every person may with the power of the will in his mind he may restrain himself and control the drive of his heart's lust, preventing his heart's desires from finding expression indeed word and thought. Ula hasiach daite legamri, and he can, if his mind will it, he can divert his attention completely, mitaivas libay, from that which his heart craves, ela hepech legamri, and turn his attention to the exactly opposite direction. A person, he says, was created from birth. The innate nature of the human being's psychological and spiritual structure is that mayach shalit al alev, mind rules the heart, so therefore a person with the power of his will created by his mind's understanding and conviction rules the heart. So even if the heart craves or desires something, nevertheless, every human being by his very nature, as he was created, can restrain himself and control that lust that it should not actualize itself in his thought, speech, or action. That's what he says. And this statement is the secret of the Beinoni, and it's one of the most fundamental points in the Sefer HaTanya, in the Alter Rebbe's Tanya. Person has a taiva to do something. We feel a lust to engage in something. Or I shouldn't say to do something, that's already specific. You feel a lust towards something, to meditate upon something. And this is something which is unhealthy. It's immoral, it's unhealthy. I'm not going to get into specifics. Everyone knows from their own life, their personal life. But when you're thinking, don't think about the small little taivas. Sometimes it's a powerful taiva. A powerful lust. You know, sometimes you want to eat. It's no big deal, you shouldn't eat. I'm talking a real powerful lust that touches deep dimensions of the human nature. Could be very intimate. We could be feel uncomfortable talking about it. But everyone in their own mind knows it. At times, whether it's in the morning, whether it's by night, whether it's in the middle of the night, whether it's in the middle of the day, whatever it is, a person experiences in his lev a profound lust to something. And that impulse exists and it begins building up momentum. What does the Beinoni do now? What does the Beinoni do? The Beinoni has a mayach. The mayach is the mind. And the mayach tells him, or rather he understands through his mayach, that this taiva is something which is unhealthy. It's unhealthy physically, perhaps. It's unhealthy psychologically, spiritually. It's alien to his true identity, to his divine soul, to the blueprint of the Creator. It's alien to the essence of life, to the purpose of life, to the inherent goodness that exists in man's existence. But we all know when your lev is on fire, all drushes in the world are meaningless. What about what? A mentally ill. One sec. We're not talking about mental illness, another issue. We're not talking about that. Then you have a problem. We're not talking about that. Mental illness, another issue. When the lev is on fire, everyone knows it overpowers everything, apparently. When a person's heart, when you're taken over by a certain lust and a craving towards everything, all philosophies and all intellectual explanations and speeches and books, as beautiful as they may be at other times, seem to be buried deep, deep in the ground without any practical relevance. Everything is in the air, as they say in Yiddish. When the lev is overwhelmed by this time, forget about it. Apparently. That's how we feel. Comes the Alter Rebbe and says that's an illusion of the lev. Mayach shaltel alev betel dasi v'tavi yitzirase. If you'll introduce your mayach now, and you'll put up a fight with the mayach against the heart, naturally the mayach will prevail. Naturally the mayach will win. So you'll ask the question, the mayach doesn't win? Everyone knows that so often the mayach doesn't triumph. It's not victorious. The lev wins. Yeah, if not, we would all be baning him, right? and how many Beninim are there around this table? Anna, I can talk for myself. Yeah, not a lot, everyone. Not a lot. You see a lot of potentials. Everyone has the potential to be a Beinoni. The Lev wins. So often we experience that type and we let it take a hold over our life. Whether to actualize it in thought and speech or action. Because we don't access the Mayach. If you don't put up a fight, if you don't get the Mayach involved, of course the Lev will win. But that doesn't mean the Lev is stronger. The Mayach essentially is more powerful. It has dominion over the heart. By way of illustration, if two people are wrestling, you'll say one is stronger than the other and he's certain to defeat the other person. What happens if the stronger one is sleeping? So the weaker person comes and wrestles with him and gets him to the ground. You say, aha, he's stronger. He's stronger. The other man was sleeping. That doesn't demonstrate that you were stronger. If both were fighting and each one utilized their potentials and their strength and their energy, and then you threw him to the ground, that demonstrates that you're stronger in this issue at least. If your Mayach sloughed, and the Lev comes in and defeats the Mayach, of course the Lev won. The Alter Rebbe is not saying that nothing has to happen. If the Lev comes in, it's going to be defeated. No, it won't. The Rebbe is saying, try it. Bring in the Mayach and put up a fight. And I promise you that naturally, innately, the Mayach will win. Because from the two, the Mayach is stronger. So if they are both introduced into the ring and they box with each other, there is an inherent promise, not a superimposed celestial heavenly promise. This is the very nature of man, that the Mayach will be victorious over the Lev. Shekach Neitzer Adam. So therefore you experience a taiva. The Beinoni experiences a lust. Now what happens? He experiences this lust. What's the next step? It can be a lust that deals with personal issues, relationships to others, many different types of lust in so many different areas. More intimate, less intimate, dealing with one's body, with one's psychological self, with one's spiritual self. So many different areas. A lust which is unhealthy. Unhealthy from the Torah's perspective, which is essentially what is the essence of existence. Torah is not superimposed upon existence. So now what's the next step? The Rasha, in Tanya terminology, allows that lust to prevail, to take over his life. The Beinoni possesses full control. What is the secret? What is the mistake? If he's an ordinary man, how does he never sin? How is it possible? What, he's a Meshuganer? How does he never sin? Says the Alter Rebbe, he accesses his Mayach. I have a taiva, good. You have that taiva. You're not a tzaddik, you're a Beinoni. Now what do? Now the ball is in your court. Access your Mayach. The Beinoni taps into his Mayach. What does my Mayach have to say? He tells the heart, okay, I hear what you have to say. Give me 1 second. I have to think for a moment. That's the hardest part. That's the hardest part. Because the Lev says, no, what do you have to think? Go, this is what you want, this is who you are. So the Beinoni turns to the Lev, says, okay, this is who I am, fine. Let's just think about it for a minute. If this is who I am, so what are you scared? Why are you scared to think about it? If this is really what I want and who I am, so let's think about it. You know, if someone has an argument, if someone puts up an argument, if it's a true argument, you can argue it out. If it's untrue, you have to scream and shout. So the Lev is screaming, no! And you know what happens? And we're overwhelmed by that taiva, and it seems so powerful. The Beinoni knows, one second, let's think about it. And the Lev knows that here is the beginning of its defeat. So therefore, we all experience this. The taiva shouts and screams, you're stupid, and it's rubbish, and this is what life is. Suck the marrow out of life and enjoy what you're doing and live it up.
Ha, ha, ha.